The Rav's Shabbos Tshuva Drasha was called Golas Yishmoel. The Golas under Yishmoel. And he tried to give some context as to the relationship between Arabs and the Jewish people. Somebody pointed out to me, and I don't know what relevance it has or doesn't, that most Muslims today aren't even Arabs. You look at Pakistan, you look at Indonesia, you look at Iran, which is Persia. These people, while they're Muslims, they weren't Arabs. So, are they in the bailiwick of B'nai Yishmael or not? I can't answer. The rabbi turned to a lot of Chumash Bereishis. The first quote he has is, it's in Perek 25 of Chayisara, the psukim from Yud Beis to Yud Ches. This is Yishmoel's life. He's a son of Avraham, and his mother was Hagar from Mitzrayim, and her job was to be Sarah's shifcha, her maidservant. Then it mentions a number of children, and it says he had 12 sort of groups, similar, I guess, to Yaakov, 12 shvatim. And then it lists, it says, Yishmoel lived 137 years. He died and he was gathered to his nation. And then it says, his dwelling spots went from a place called Chavila to a place called Shur, which was close to Mitzrayim, on the way to Asher. And then it says, Alpinei Chol Achav Nafal. He fell against all his brothers. And the question is, what does this mean? The rabbi contrasted this with the very next pasuk. Very next is the Eila Tardos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avram Hailidetz Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the son of Avram Avinu, and Avraham was the father. He was the ancestor of Yitzchak. And the Bala Turim points out right away the juxtaposition of Yishmoel falling, or whatever fall means, against his brothers, and these are Yitzchak's toldos. This is right. These are the generation, so to speak, of Yitzchak. And it's, he says, the Bala Turim says, Sheyipol Yishmoel ba'achris hayomim. When at the end of time, before Mashiach, when Yishmoel falls, Azai, then Yitzmach will flourish Ben David, Mashiach Ben David, Shehum mitoldos Yitzchak, who comes out of Yitzchak. So, what the Bala Turim is telling us, that in God's formation of history, Yitzchak will only be preeminent to the extent he should be preeminent once Yishmoel falters, his generations. Then the Rav goes to Lech Lecha, and he says to Avram, Avram was 90 years old, Hashem appeared to him, Hashem makes the bris with him, right? The bris that he's going to have a bris and everybody else. And he changes Avram's name from Avram to Avraham. Ki av hamoin goyim nifaticha. God is making Avraham the father of many nations. And he says, I'm going to multiply you many, and I'm going to give you goyim, nations, umulachim mitzene yesu, and kings will come out of you. And I am going to keep my bris, Hashem says, between me, the Rabbona Shalom, and your children and your generations after you, for generations. It will be an everlasting bris, the one that's done when a baby's 8 days old, whereby I am your HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the God of your generations thereafter. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'nosati l'chol uvarecha charecha, I'm going to give to you and your descendants as Eretz Megurecha, the land in which you are now dwelling, the one that I brought you to in Parshas Lech Lecha, es kol Eretz Kenaan, all the land of Kenaan, lachuzas oilam. You are going to have it for an everlasting inheritance. And Hashem again talks about the bris. And he says, you're going to, unamaltem es besar lacheskem. You're going to do the bris, and it's going to be everlasting. So somehow the bris milah and Eretz Yisrael have now been juxtaposed, and the great ascendancy of Yitzchak only comes when Yishmael goes into the abyss. Hashem, we know, changed Sora's name from Sora to Sarai and promised her a child. And he sends, we know she laughed, and then he tells Avraham, why did Sora laugh? But Hashem told Avraham, I'm going to give you a child. Uvayrachti oisam. I'm going to give her a bracha. I am going to give you a son whose mother is going to be Sarah. I am going to bless her. She will be the mother of nations. The kings of nations will come from her. Avram gets this news. Avram says, falls on his face, Vayitzchak, and he laughs. Simcha. Not like, it's not like Sarah. He has a true simcha appreciation. Vayomer liboy, and he says to himself, Halavein mea sorm yevoled, im sorah bastishim shona teled. Am I really going to have a child at 100? And Sora's going to be 90. And we know that when Sora is told that by the three angels who come, she laughs and God asks why. But and God, here he says, she's 90 years old. And Hashem said to Sarah, Avraham, even he was incredulous, and he said, am I going to give birth? Because I'm really old. He doesn't mention that he mentioned Sarah's age, and we're told there's a raya from here that you don't have to tell a woman something that her husband said if it's not appropriate. Anyway, so now Avram knows he's going to have a child, and he says, Ayoymer Avram el Elohim. Avram answers Hashem, Lu Yishmoel Yichle Lefanecha. Please, it's enough. If only Yishmael will live before you. Right? God's answer is, no. Sarah is going to give you a child. You're going to call him Yitzchak. And he is going to be the one who is going to keep the covenant that I want with you and your generations. But Hashem says, "Ul Yishmael, but for Yishmael, Shematicha, I hear your concern. I hear what you're saying. Hine barachti oisoi. I'm going to give him a blessing. V'hifreisi oisoi. I'm going to multiply. V'hirbeisi oisoi b'moid. I'm going to make him multitudes of people. And we know how big the Arabs are. So we already see that Avram Avinu, at the moment he told Yitzchak will exist, says, I'm concerned about Yishmoa. What is this? Okay. And the Zohar says, even though Hashem told Avram about Yitzchak, Avraham somehow was attached in some fashion to his son Yishmoel. And he basically asked Hashem, take care of this guy. Please mute.
To mute conference participants, press 1. To mute conference participants, and all participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. So we see this concern of Avraham for Yitzchak, and the Zohar asks, so let's see. Avraham is now somehow expressing concern about Yishmael at the time Yitzchak's impending birth is announced. And so he says the Arabs always wondered, well, then why weren't we given Eretz Yisrael? Like, in other words, why does this go to Yitzchak only? And the Zohar seems to indicate that Hashem allows Yishmael at some way, in some stage, to control the land. And we know about the Ottoman Empire and things of that nature. And we know that there was Arab rule for God knows how many years. But we also know that they couldn't create the Eretz Zavas Chalavud Vash. That no guy in the world, not Yishmael, not Esav, not anyone else, could ever make the desert bloom, right? Could ever have Eretz Yisroel give its bounty. The bounty of Eretz Yisroel, which we are told is greater in potential than anyone else on earth, is only there for Klal Yisroel. Others may have some success. Others may have no success. But the only ones who can have the success HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued in Eretz Yisroel is Klal Yisroel. But somehow, Yishmoel's on the scene. And Yishmoel is angry. Yishmoel is wondering at his stage in life while he's alive, why is the bracha different? Why is Yitzchak on a higher pedestal, etc.? Okay.
Especially since he was the older one.
Yeah, he was the oldest, yeah. Right? And we know that he had a bris at age 13, right? Which I think is what the Arabs still do, I'm told. But anyway, he had a bris. So, and he did yeshuv at the end of his days. Yishmoel did not die a rasha. He was a bal tshuva. Okay. Then we go back into the story of when Hagar was pregnant. And when she got pregnant, she became haughty. And first, she had been the princess in Mitzrayim. When Avram and Sarah went down there and Paro kidnapped Sarah, think, right, because whether he did it really thinking that she was Avram's sister or not, Sarah took one look at the palace and she said, okay, no one's molesting me. I am going to have every orifice of every person in the palace blocked. So they could, whatever that means, but they were in dire, dire pain. And Hagar saw that she did this. And Hagar said, this lady walks with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the only true God. I would rather be her servant than be the princess of Egypt. And she went with them. But now, once she marries Avram as a so-called, I would say, surrogate wife, and she gets pregnant and Sarah doesn't, she begins to wonder, well, how much of this Sidkis and Sarah is for real? And she begins to be disrespectful. Sarah tells Avram. Avram sends her out of the house. She goes to the desert. Avram gave her enough provisions. For whatever reason, she runs out. She thinks Yishmael's going to die. And unlike any Jewish mother, she takes this kid who no longer can move, however old he was, she puts him in one area and she walks away. I can't watch this. It's a tzitmirvei. I can't watch this kid die. A malach comes to her, right? And says, oh, I'm sorry. This is before that. This is even earlier. She's only pregnant, right? She ran away. A malach comes to her, and the malach says, you're going to have a child. You're going to call him Yishmael because God heard his voice. He is going to be a para adam. He's going to be a wild and man. Yodai Bakor, the Yadko boy, he's going to be the protagonist against everyone. He's going to get into multiple, multiple wars. And he's going to somehow live in the face of his brethren. And she goes back. And Avram, when he's born, calls the child Yishmael. I don't know if Avram was told by Hashem that this happened, that Emel spoke to her, and this happened. And when she was in the desert, she was given water from a well called Be'er Lachai Ro'i. This is going to be important because we're going to see it's mentioned one other time in the Torah, Be'er Lachai. Okay? Avram was 86 years old, and so when Yitzchak is born, right, when Yishmael is, the math doesn't seem to work. If Avram was 86, and Yitzchak was, I guess, when Avraham was at least 100, then there's maybe 13 plus, maybe 14 years. But anyway, we say he was 13 years. So Avraham has an affinity of some sort for Yishmael. And it says that as she names him the same way the Malach said, Hagar should name him. And the Ramban tells us, look at the phrase, para adam. Para adam is two nouns side by side. Para means a vildachaya. Adam, born of man. And what they point out, okay, is that God says he's going to be a vildachaya. You don't have a mensch here. He and his generation are vildachayim. We saw that on October 7th. They're not human, even though they're in human form. And somehow, we already see that with the juxtaposition of Yitzchak and Yishmael, there's going to be some way that Yishmael is going to rise and is going to be problematic, etc. It says in the that at a certain stage of the game, Yitzchak is born, and Sarah sees the son of Hagar the Mithras, Mitzachek, having fun. And we're told, what did he do? The Pirkei Derabbi Eliezer says, he was going to play bow and arrows. He had a bow, he had arrows, and he figured, let me use Yitzchak for target practice. Let me take this little runt out. Sarah sees this. Sarah goes to Avram and says, these guys can't live together. Yishmael's out to kill him. Throw him out of the house. You can't have a psychopath under your roof. And Avraham, it says, finds this exceedingly, exceedingly difficult because something still attaches. And Hashem says, listen, and Hashem again reiterates that Yishmael is going to be a powerhouse. Right? And we know that we read this on Rosh Hashanah. Like I mentioned, the fact they went out, him and his mother went into the desert. She, you know, she put him aside to die. A malach comes and he says, I see Yishmael ba'asher hu sham, as he is now. In other words, even though Hashem knows that in history, Yishmael is going to be this miserable nation of Arabs, God's not going to judge the forefather for what he turns out. And today, he's not deserving of death. He didn't kill Yitzchak, obviously, with the bow and arrow. And we know a Beis Din can't, I don't think that we had a concept in Yiddishkeit, at least in Beis Din, of a planning to kill, conspiracy to murder where you're not successful.
Intent.
I think we call it conspiracy in American law. But anyway, so he gets this judgment, and we see that Avraham somehow has this attachment. Like, what's going on here? Why does Avraham have this attachment? And let's look at the two nations. Yishmael, God hears, but God's name is in it. Yisrael, right? We are a sar, we could be maybe an officer, but also of God. The only two nations with the name of God in it is Kale. Okay? And when it goes back, this comes from Bamidbar. It says somebody, this was Bilam. He says, Oy mi yechye, oh, will he live? Mishmuel, those who has the name of God. Somehow, and the rabbi posed this as a question, did Avraham believe that Yishmael deserved this type of existence? That they could be this constant thorn in our side? He was okay? Or was there something else? Is there something to this notion of Yishmael and Yisrael being side by side. Is it possible that Avram Avinu, with his great knowledge, knew that for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating history, that there would be two nations with the name Kael, and for whatever reason, the bad guy gets to be on top first, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Yisrael. Over time, we become the nation of Nobel Prize winners. We become the nation that Mark Twain can't figure out how we defied history. We're the nation with great attributes. The Arabs, had they not found oil, would still be living in their teepees, right? Harassing their women, raping their daughters, etc. All the great things they do. And we saw that what they are on October 7th. And the Rambam says that Muhammad, their leader, Hamashugana, he calls them the Meshuga, the crazy one. He says all they're interested is in war, in fighting. And somehow, the Geula Shalema means overcoming these sons of a gun. And somehow, this is the way, what Rabbi suggests, this is the way history was designed by the Rabboni Shel Olam to fall out. The rabbi then turned and he told the stories of survivors from October 7th and the major job they've done in returning in tshuva, in doing things for Klal Yisroel. And he turned to all us in shul and he said, October 7th was a challenge to all of us. There's a need this year for tshuva of some kind on our parts. We need to do something to eradicate whatever the cheshbon was that October 7th had to occur. And he didn't suggest what it was. But the rabbi suggested that here's the history, and the only way we're going to battle and going to beat Yishmael is with Torah and mitzvahs. That's what it is. And that it's not a coincidence that this battle rages today. That it's something about the way history was designed, and that we have a responsibility, as we always had. And he says, can we do something, as he said, for someone else? Can we be friendlier? Can we be nicer? Can we make changes for Achdus? And that was the Rabbi Shabbos HaGadol Drasha in a nutshell. Okay.